You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got it. Touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, writer and contributor over at PredominantlyOrange.com, covering all things orange and blue across the United States of America and wherever you read your Denver Broncos news. Catch us over there. Great staff I have the opportunity to work with, as well as an NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos nationally. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Now, on today's episode of Locked On Broncos, we're going to hit you with some Broncos news from today. Things have been going on in Broncos country, and it is our coveted Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Broncos. Now, I had a lot of great tweets sent to me today, and the Twitter Tuesday format is basic. It's super basic, and it's very interacting, and I'm going to read every single one of you avid listeners that sent me in a tweet. I'm going to read your tweet and obviously give you the analysis on what you asked me. Now, the format is either send me your Broncos questions, your Broncos vents, or your Broncos hot takes or analysis, and we'll debate them, discuss them, talk about them here on Locked On Broncos. Now, I had a very phenomenal weekend in Denver, man. I tell you what, the Mile High City always treats me good. I look forward to packing everything up here at one point and moving back over to Denver and being more involved there. Had the opportunity to go to a Nuggets game and watch Adam Ottis, the host of Locked On Nuggets, you know, the team he covers, the Denver Nuggets, take on the Detroit Pistons. Nuggets win that one, but Nuggets have faltered on two straight games, losing to Memphis and losing to the Miami Heat yesterday in double overtime, and now they're on the outside looking in the playoff race, and they're going to have to win out probably every single game, or at least maybe 8 or 9 of the next 10 in order to be able to, you know, be in the playoffs, I believe. So catch Adam Otters over there at Locked On Nuggets. Now, a great weekend. You know, like I said, got to see my buddy Scott Hastings, color commentator for the Denver Nuggets. Got to spend some time with him. Then had to go out to Lotto's on Friday following the game and got to talk with Scott and Julie Brownman over there as they did their Hastings and Brownman show on air over there at Lotto's. Catch the Hastings Brownman podcast recap. It was great. You know, I love Denver, love the atmosphere. Lotto's is a great place. If you want your sports bar type feel, you want to get lunch, you want to catch whatever's on sports, Lotto's is the place to go. Unbelievable food, great service, and obviously you get to obviously check out all the Altitude 950 guys over there. So very excited about that. Denver was amazing. Can't wait to go back. We'll be there again for training camp, and then in the future we'll be there permanently, long term. So very excited about all that stuff, looking forward to that. But it was just a phenomenal weekend, and obviously a lot of stuff going around the National Football League with free agency continuing, and now the Denver Broncos, you know, they haven't made many moves since the Case Keenum transaction, but along the lines, you know, some Denver Broncos players are now on other teams, and yesterday Cody Latimer announced that he was going to the New York Giants on Instagram. You know, I just want to take the time and say, you know, that's it's amazing for Cody Latimer. Congratulations. I hope that New York is a place for him to go and where he can kind of relish a little bit and get the opportunity. I don't think the scheme in Denver for Cody Latimer when he was drafted, he didn't meet the expectations that I think the coaches wanted, the organization wanted. Now, he was phenomenal. He was spectacular on the special teams side of the ball. And unfortunately, you know, he wanted to make some money, and he could have made money, you know, for any team, let alone off of how he plays on special teams as a gunner. I mean, let's look at New England's Matthew Slater, who just re-signed there in New England. Cody Latimer was that type of player on special teams for the Denver Broncos. However, he just couldn't be that wide receiver piece that they needed consistently at the number 3 wide receiver spot. So wish Cody Latimer the best. He's gone. He's down there in New York now with Eli Manning. So, you know, that's amazing. He's reuniting with former Broncos wide receiver coach Tyke Tolbert. So some ties there with the Broncos organization. And, you know, that's a great move for him. And the Broncos re-signed Todd Davis. That was a big move. Now, I talked about it on the podcast last week that Todd Davis, you know, he's great on the run, but I still believe that Denver needs an inside piece that can provide some solidarity and be a complimentary piece to Brandon Marshall in terms of being able to pass cover. So the Denver Broncos lost Corey Nelson to the Philadelphia Eagles. Great move for Corey Nelson. But, you know, I feel like at this point now the Broncos have their quarterback. Do you gamble at this point? And we're going to get to this in our Twitter Tuesday segment, but do you gamble and go with best player available? Now, it's debatable. Defensively, Bradley Chubb out of North Carolina, he's a stud. But then you also have Roquan Smith, inside linebacker out of Georgia. He's also another stud. Do you go with any of those two guys at pick number five? I don't know. I think it's debatable. I would. I certainly would. If I knew that I wasn't going to need a quarterback, if John Elway and them aren't going to take a quarterback, you know, why not? Why not go with Bradley Chubb, or why not go with Roquan Smith, you know, best defensive player available? Or, you know, there's rumors that the Denver Broncos could be moving up to a trade for Saquon Barkley, and I'm 50-50 on this move. I just don't think it's a wise move for the Denver Broncos to make. Yeah, he's a generational talent. He's a once-in-a-while type talent that you don't necessarily get every year in the NFL draft. I get it. That's the hype right there. He's a stud. He's a freaking nature athlete. But I'm also looking at the same time, and I'm wondering, do you take that risk? Okay, you already have three running backs deep on the Denver Broncos roster. Jamal Charles gone. You have Devontae Booker. Right now you have CJ Anderson and D'Angelo Henderson. Do you keep those guys? And then what happens if you draft Saquon Barkley? Well, obviously I think it would be safe to say CJ Anderson would be cut, and it would be Saquon Barkley, Devontae Booker, and D'Angelo Henderson. I just don't know. There's just a lot of moves on there that I'm not sure. I don't know if you move up or if you trade up to get Saquon Barkley. I don't even know if you take him with the number five pick in the draft. So we're going to get to our Twitter Tuesday segment here in just a little bit. But I want to take the time to tell you guys to go check out Adam Otta's Locked On Nuggets. I gave him a little shout out earlier for the latest news on the Denver Nuggets as they embark on their third game of this seventh game road trip to end the season. And it's a grueling road trip for the Denver Nuggets. Adam Otta's has the latest for you over there at Locked On Nuggets on what to expect with the Denver Nuggets rebounding, hoping to get Gary Harris back on this here road trip. So, let's jump right into it now. Our Twitter Tuesday segment, man, it was phenomenal. You guys sent me your tweets at Cody Rourke NFL, and you guys had a lot of good tweets, a lot of frustrations, a lot of vents, and a lot of questions. And we're going to start off with my man, Cesar Omar, and he asked the first question. His question is, what kind of performance can we expect from the O-line this season? In the same vein, do you see Watson hanging around the team strictly for depth issues? Now, Cesar, this is a great question. Now, Manelik Watson was by far one of the weak links on the Denver Broncos offensive line last year. No doubt about it. Now, I think the Denver Broncos offensive line will be more aggressive this year. I like the lineup so far. Okay, you have Garrett Bowles coming back, and he wasn't bad as a rookie. He really wasn't. So I see a lot of tweets. I'll just see a lot of commentary and analysis that Garrett Bowles was awful. He had his struggles, absolutely. But Garrett Bowles was a bright spot compared to what the Denver Broncos have had to tackle in quite some time. You have Ron Leary. He's getting, you know, he's coming off that back injury. He should be healthy. He's an all-pro guard. You have Matt Paradise, fully healthy now. Played through some injuries last year, obviously coming off off-season hip surgery last season. I don't feel like he was at 100%. This year, he's going to be at 100% at center. You're going to return your all-pro center back. And then right guard's a question mark, and obviously right tackle. Now, you mentioned Manelik Watson, and I think Manelik Watson will be around as a depth guy. But, you know, obviously the Broncos just re-signed Billy Turner. I don't know what Billy Turner's upside will be for the Denver Broncos, but it's certain to be promising a little bit if they're going to re-sign him and keep him around. And also you have Cyrus Kwanjo as well as a guy who's a depth guy. You know, some of these guys are going to be cut in training camp, but I think Denver might pick up a tackle later on in the NFL draft. I'm not sure who it would be, but I'm sure you're going to bring in a guy you can develop, mold, especially under Sean Coogler, new offensive line coach, obviously previously the head coach over there at UTEP. And And there's some ties. Maybe the Denver Broncos at, you know, at right guard, maybe they draft a Quentin Nelson at number five. He could be a surprise pick at number five, but I wouldn't be surprised because he's a freak of nature. He's the best offensive lineman in this year's draft, in my honest opinion. He's nasty, he's tenacious, and I think several people have alluded to it on Twitter that have at least mentioned me in it, that he might be the Von Miller of the offensive side of the ball on the offensive line in this year's draft, and he certainly could be. You know, he's tenacious. Go back and watch his film. He's mean. He throws dudes in the dirt, and he buries them. That's what you want on an offensive lineman in National Football. You want a nasty guy like Quentin Nelson, and he's the guy, man. If the Denver Broncos took him, I wouldn't be opposed. I would actually be kind of happy. There's more solidarity on the offensive line if you add Quentin Nelson, especially with the new quarterback in Case Keenum. Now, you know, Connor McGovern could be a guy who could be that right guard candidate if they don't draft a right guard. You know, I think the Denver Broncos still have an option later or like early in the second round to be able to pick up Will Hernandez out of UTEP, obviously former ties to head to offensive line coach Sean Coogler. There's that kind of dynamic there. I think the offensive line, though, Cesar, I think it's going to be a lot better than it was last year. I really do. I honestly do. And that gives me a lot of optimism. But yeah, I do see Menelik Watson hanging around the team a little bit for, you know, just depth, because obviously the pick hasn't worked out. He's not that athletic, especially against some athletic pass rushers in the AFC West. That's the thing. Now, Twin Peaks says, since Super Bowl 50, we've lost Wade Phillips, DeMarcus Ware, and Peyton Manning, three football geniuses and great leaders, not just in words, but in deeds. Where is that leadership now? You know, this is a great question. When I look at the Denver Broncos roster and I look at guys who are leaders, Von Miller is becoming that leader. DeMarcus Ware's influence, in my honest opinion, has rubbed off very positively on Von Miller. Now, Von Miller's doing a lot of good stuff in the community. You know, he's always been a guy that gives back to the community, but Von Miller, more so on the field this season, you've watched him, you've seen him in huddles, and he's that vocal leader. He's that lead-by-example type guy that this team needs. Now, they need more of it on the defensive side of the ball. It can't just be Von Miller. It's got to be Todd Davis. It's now got to be Chris Harris Jr. It can be Bradley Roby. Those guys lead by example. But you need that vocal type stuff. You know, people, when you look at, you know, Wade Phillips, you look at DeMarcus Ware and Peyton Manning, their teammates kind of feared when they pissed those guys off, because those guys were going to rip their butt and hold them accountable. Now, I don't know necessarily DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware didn't seem like the type of guy to rip anybody's butt, but he was the guy that had that, you know, brotherly talk with you and say, hey, you know what, we got to get this going. You can't be acting like a knucklehead. We got to buckle down. And he was that vocal guy on defense, and it wasn't in a negative way. Now, Peyton Manning, if you weren't doing what you were supposed to, he'd chew your butt. Go ask Julius Thomas how it feels to get chewed out by Peyton Manning. And I mean, there's even times where he chewed out Donald Brown at Indianapolis. He'd go, damn it, Donald. A great sound clip. I wish I could pull that up right now. I don't have a soundboard. But if I did, that would be a phrase that we hear every single episode of Locked On Broncos. So, you know, you got Von Miller. You got Chris Harris Jr. Those guys are all leaders. Now on the offensive side of the ball, I think Case Keenum is going to be that guy. I'd love to see Demaryius Thomas be that more vocal leader, though. We haven't seen him be that vocal leader more so that we need from him. You know, obviously him stepping up is going to be very huge. Emmanuel Sanders is a very passionate guy. I don't know if he's necessarily that leader, that guy that guys in the locker room necessarily trust, like to tell them exactly what to do, because I don't know exactly what goes on. I just don't get that dynamic from Emmanuel Sanders. He's a lead by example guy. I just don't know if he's the rah-rah vocal leader, you know, the guy that when things are going wrong, you can look to him on the field and think, okay, he's focused, he's got this, okay, so now I'm focused, I got this. And you know, I think that's a big thing you look at in football. I know for me, when I played football, I always looked to the guy. You know, if I wasn't the guy, I became the guy later on in my career, where, you know, I led by example and guys looked to me when things were chaotic, my response, you know, how I acted, how I, you know, responded to a situation, that's how they would. And that's super important. But Von Miller's that guy. Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby are those guys. Now I'd like to see Todd Davis. I think he can be that guy this year for the Denver Broncos vocally on defense. Now you can't be getting into fights with your teammates, so we'll see about that. But great question there, Twin Peaks. Keith Bryan says, Broncos are in a prime spot at pick five with so many quarterbacks predicted to be off the board. If Elway wants a premier talent, it will be available. Who would you pick at the five spot if all are available? Chubb, Barkley, or Nelson? Ah, man. You know, I'm really high on the Bradley Chubb. I'm really high on him as a defensive end, because when I look at the Broncos defensively in their 3-4 scheme, you have a Derek Wolfe, but I think you need another guy who's dominant on the edge. And the Broncos at defensive end last year had Jared Crick and Zach Kerr. Crick played phenomenal. You know, he didn't, I wouldn't say phenomenal. Crick played consistently well. But health with him and Kerr, those were the huge question marks. So maybe you get a guy like Bradley Chubb to help anchor one side, and you make your defense completely stronger. He's young. He has a lot of promise. He's a freak of nature. I like his talent. You know, there's Barkley. You know, Barkley's very talented, but I just don't know if you pick him at 5. I think you can get some tailbacks a little bit later on in the draft that are pretty good, that are going to be explosive and have good careers in the National Football League. We don't know what we're going to expect. And I'll go on a little rant about that here in a little bit. Let's see here. It says, Electric Flow asked me, Allen Hurns, #3 wide receiver, ? I say, hell yes. Why not? Allen Hurns was a top target in Jacksonville for the Jaguars. Now, they let him go. They let Allen Robinson go. They let Mercedes Lewis go in Jacksonville. They're going with a completely new receiving core. And Allen Hurns can be a guy that I really believe could contribute. And no question, he would be a phenomenal #3 wide receiver. Does it happen, though? I'm not sure. Logan Whaley, he says, rant. I don't understand this need for Barkley from Broncos fans. The #5 pick is too valuable to use it on a running back. Barkley is a generational talent. I get that. But he wouldn't push Denver to Super Bowl contention. Also, if Elway trades up for him, he needs to go. I don't know if you get rid of John Elway if he trades up for him. Now, there's a lot that goes on in NFL meeting rooms with executives, and you know, I don't know those conversations all the time. None of us do. Only John Elway and Gary Kubiak know that. And the scouting personnel, the player personnel department, they know those conversations because they're part of it. You know, there's a lot of different rankings that go into characterizing what Saquon Barkley will be in the National Football League for a lot of NFL teams. And I think that the Denver Broncos, if they do pick him, it doesn't hurt to pick up a guy of that stature. But I'm also thinking there's also some other needs on the roster that you should address. I think, you know, obviously, you know, defense, you need some areas to upgrade. You know, quarterback, I think you still need to get a backup quarterback, a young guy you can mold, because I'm not sold 100% on Paxton Lynch's ability to be the guy that when Case Keenum decides to retire, that, you know, he steps up and is suddenly the guy. I think you have, if you draft a quarterback, Paxton Lynch, I think his career is going to be done in Denver. You get a Baker Mayfield or a Josh Rosen, he develops behind Case Keenum. Case Keenum's a proven leader. Very excited. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch All or Nothing with the LA Rams. Now, Case Keenum was a product of the Jeff Fisher crap system. He suffered, but he was a phenomenal leader in that he suffered in that offensive system. Now, is it ironic that after Jeff Fisher's gone, Nick Foles becomes Super Bowl MVP for Philly? You have Sam Bradford going to the Minnesota Vikings, who started for them at the beginning of the year, got hurt, unfortunate, bad luck. Case Keenum steps in, has an MVP-type season, is in the MVP conversation, leads them to an NFC championship. All those guys are doing better without Jeff Fisher. So, I don't know. That's not irony there. Let's see. Jared Frazier, my man, he says, is there an offensive tackle to take at #5, or do you take a guard at #5? Saquon is a special talent. If he drops there, which he won't, I'd take him in a second. I get where you're coming from. I really do. I just don't think that you move up. I don't think you move up to try to trade up for a guy like Saquon Barkley. Now, I think the Denver Broncos are going to try to move up. They're going to try to get ahead of a team that needs a quarterback. And look at the New York Jets. They moved up. They're in dire need for a quarterback. I'm hearing a lot of this. Josh Allen. Buffalo needs a quarterback. They may try to move up. I just think that a lot of different things here, you know, there's a lot of different contingencies in place here. And I think you go with a, you know, best player available for the Denver Broncos. If you don't go quarterback, if you're confident with Case Keenum as your quarterback and that Paxton Lynch will develop, you go with the best player available. So that's something we're going to look at. Christopher Brown, he says, excuse me, guys. He says, do you think they'd settle for a quarterback at 5 if their guy isn't there, or draft and develop one in the second round? This is a great question. I feel like if the Broncos miss out on a quarterback here in the first round, if they miss out on the guy that they want, I think they can get a guy, Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State in the second round. Paul Laletta, they have some guys. Luke Falk, they have some guys that can develop pretty nicely, in my opinion, in the National Football League. So I don't think if they miss out on their first round quarterback, I think they get the best player available at pick 5. If you want to go with a quarterback, you can go with a Mason Rudolph later on, or Luke Falk, or Paul Laletta. I think those are some definite options for the Broncos. And so we'll see that. You know, I'm not too sure about it, but we'll see here in the next month. But I'll be on TV on the Did You See That sports show on, you know, it's been featured on ESPN, Yahoo Sports. I'm going to be joining Mike Ortiz and everybody for a draft TV episode. It'll be aired on Twitter. So very, very excited about that. When the time comes, I'll tweet you all the details, tweet you the link, but we'll be there. Let's see. Ozzy Cat 513 says, quarterback or Vance, which concerns you more this upcoming season? It seemed like there were more coaching mistakes than quarterback mistakes, and there were a lot. Now, Ozzy, I think when we look back at last season, I think it was both quarterback and Vance Joseph. And I'm concerned more so this season with Vance Joseph than I am with the quarterback spot. I think Case Keenum's going to be phenomenal. Now, this season for Vance Joseph is going to be a test. It's going to be a strong test to see how he adjusts to after his first year coaching in the National Football League. Now, you don't fire Vance Joseph after 1 year. You want to give him some more time. I think he's got some time this year if he wins, and great. If the Broncos struggle throughout 7 or 8 weeks, I think then the heat is turned on and he may not be back. But I'm more concerned with seeing how Vance Joseph responds this year than I am seeing Case Keenum play quarterback. I am very confident in Case Keenum's ability to play quarterback. Last year, the Denver Broncos had no solidarity at quarterback, not even in training camp, not even in preseason, and throughout the regular season, there was no solidarity. There was no guarantee on who the quarterback was. We have the starting quarterback right now for the Denver Broncos. There's going to be no controversy this summer. The quarterback situation is finally solved for the Denver Broncos. We can move on from that. But Vance Joseph has a lot to prove this season, and I think that I'm eager to see how he responds, and I'm pulling for him. I'm rooting for him because, you know what? He's the guy who's commanding the team that I cover. I've loved the Denver Broncos forever. And there's people out there that want Vance Joseph to fail. I'm not one of those guys. Now, Vance Joseph rubbed me the wrong way last year. I just got annoyed by how he spoke to the media in terms about, you know, having a great week of practice, his post-game comments. Those were the things that kind of irked me a little bit. But overall, I'm not rooting for him to fail. I want him to succeed. I want the Denver Broncos to win and have success. And they certainly have the opportunity to with Vance Joseph in the second year, a little bit more comfortable now. So we're going to see a lot more from Vance Joseph this year, I think, than we did from last year. And that could be good or bad. So we'll have to see that. But to answer your question, I'm a little more concerned on Vance Joseph this year and kind of seeing how he does compared to watching the quarterback situation. So those are different areas that I'm looking at. Christopher Mattson says, I would consider Fitzpatrick out of Alabama. We traded Tlaib, and he is a one-of-a-kind talent in the secondary. I would go there at number 5 if we don't pick the guard from Notre Dame. Now, I like Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's a hybrid-type guy. He reminds me a lot. His position is nearly almost similar to Justin Simmons. Now, he can play that cornerback position. However, I look at what the Broncos did here in free agency. They brought in Tremaine Brock from the Minnesota Vikings to be a number 3 corner, at least to be a camp body to compete and push Brennan Langley, Marcus Rios, some of these other guys. But Bradley Roby and Chris Harris Jr. are your corners for the Denver Broncos. Now, I don't know if Chris Harris is going to move back to the outside. There's talk of it, but he could be staying on the inside. And I think if Chris Harris Jr. moves to the outside, why not draft Minkah Fitzpatrick at pick number 5 and have him work the inside slot corner position? Or Isaiah Oliver out of University of Colorado. He's one of my top corners in this year's NFL draft. I like him. He's got some wingspan. He's athletic, and he's a technician. And, you know, CU's DB coach, Shadon Brown, that was the number one thing he says he looks for in his guys. And he's produced some NFL guys. Look at Chido Bayouzie. He wasn't necessarily there when Shadon Brown was at CU. But at the same time, CU has definitely generated some defensive back prospects across the National Football League. And Chido Bayouzie is another guy. And then obviously Isaiah Oliver is going to be a first-round draft pick this year in the National Football League. I'm firmly confident in that because there are some teams that need a cornerback. Now, I'd love the Denver Broncos to get him. That CU connection. So Chido Bayouzie down there in Dallas. And, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, a lot of people want to overanalyze something. So the last thing I want to vent about before we get off air here is everyone's always venting and knocking on John Elway for his draft picks. Now, yeah, you know what, John Elway's draft history, when you look at it, a lot of those players, most of those players aren't in the National Football League anymore or not on the Broncos anymore. That doesn't mean that John Elway's not a good drafter. That just means that those guys didn't work out. And this is the thing that people really don't understand, it really grinds my gears here, is that going into a draft, how many guys, how many first round, how many number one picks, top 10 picks in the National Football League and the NFL draft over the years have worked out in the National Football League? Somebody said it to me best today. NFL fans think there's a science that you know, NFL executives are going to know that this guy's going to have a long career in the National Football League. He's not going to be a bust. He's going to be a guy that's going to be long-term, contributing to the chemistry of our team, the success of our team. It doesn't work that way. The NFL draft is a huge gamble. It's like playing the lottery. Yeah, you're going to draft at positions that you need some improvements on. People want to overanalyze John Elway's history drafting people. He drafted Von Miller. That's a phenomenal pick. Derek Wolfe. That's a phenomenal pick. People want to look at this, but also, you know, you want to talk about John Elway's draft status. Look at John Elway's reputation in bringing in unsigned free agents, undrafted free agents. Chris Harris Jr. was a guy who was undrafted. Todd Davis was a guy who was undrafted. Darian Stewart, he's bringing in these guys. John Elway has found value in the guys that were either undrafted or another team didn't appreciate them. They were a later round draft pick and they're plugged in and they also do a good job. John Elway wants guys in the Denver Broncos that love football, that are going to be team guys, okay? If the NFL, if teams knew how a player was going to turn out in 3 years after being, you know, declaring for the NFL, Jamarcus Russell would have never been in the National Football League, period. Him or Brady Quinn, they wouldn't have been in the National Football League because they didn't amount to anything. When you draft players, okay, when you draft players, you're never getting a guaranteed guy, no matter how good he was in college. You're not getting a guaranteed translation that he's going to perform and succeed at the National Football League, the professional level, against veterans and grown men who've been doing this for a long time. It's rare that we see that. So stop overanalyzing John Elway's draft history and look behind the analysis of the team. I can go back on the draft and I can look at, okay, John Elway drafted this player. Well, during that year, what did the Denver Broncos have at that position? Go back and do your research a little bit. Some of these picks may not have worked out, but guess what? I'm not holding any salt over it. Period. And you guys shouldn't either. Look at it from what it is, from an analytical standpoint. You never know what a player is going to give you. And that could be a guy who's drafted as a first round number one pick or a guy who's drafted as Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the NFL draft. You don't know what you're going to get. So that concludes our Tuesday edition of Locked On Broncos, our Twitter Tuesday. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. Go to iTunes. If you love the show, leave the show a 5-star review. Tell us why you love the show. Leave your Twitter handle in there. You'll be entered into every single future Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. I'm going to extend the contest another week, and you will be eligible. If you win the contest here next Friday, you will receive a free Emmanuel Sanders collectible figurine item courtesy of Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. Go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review, follow the show at Locked On Broncos, follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke. Now, if you want some more NFL content, head over to LockedOnBroncos.com for Evan Gray's articles. And also, head over to PredominantlyOrange.com for the latest daily news and analysis content from the Denver Broncos over there. PredominantlyOrange.com. We're going to do a mock draft here soon. Can't wait. A staff mock draft. A great group of guys over there. Go ahead and check us out. PredominantlyOrange.com. This is your host, Cody Rourke, saying goodnight and go Broncos.